Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today. And if you were with us this past week, you know, the past few days, you know that we've been studying Matthew chapter 7. And there Jesus says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Well, yesterday we wrestled through the issue here and looked at what Jesus was saying in terms of this wise man building his house on the rock. Who is the rock? Well, we looked at yesterday that the Bible has always maintained that this rock is Christ. We're told this in 1 Corinthians 10, the Petra. The Petra is Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. No other foundation, 1 Corinthians 3, can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. This is the issue of why we call him Jesus, meaning Savior. He's the rock. He alone is able to save us from our sins. Salvation cannot be found in anyone else. So he is the foundation. He's the rock. And when we think of the house being hewn from this whole rock, we have a graphic representation of Christ and his word. So what Jesus is essentially telling us is that there are many in the kingdom building their lives, building their houses, living their lives without him. And that is a sad reality, isn't it? Because the real danger here is that outwardly you can't even tell. Who can see the foundation once the house is built? They've built their house on their accomplishments. They've worked hard in life. They've followed the course. Everything has been done to a T. They've been church members. They attend church. They outwardly have done it all right. Their house is built with these things, their pride and their works of their hands and their great convictions and everything about that. They will boast of that. This is Phariseeism, trusting in their works, trusting in themselves, trusting in their own righteousness. But the tragedy of this all is that with so many, says Jesus, the foundation is missing. They're doing all the outward things of religion. They're doing all the outward things of Christianity, and there's no real sense that Jesus is an integral part of their life. Church is a duty. Everything is mechanical. Just the mere possibility of this shakes us, doesn't it? Because the question is, how do you know? That's my question. If you can have, in verse 21, a whole multitude of people who thought they were in the kingdom and on that day find out that Christ never knew them, that is the worst kind of self-deception I have ever heard of. How do you know? That is the greatest question you might ever ask as a professing Christian. How can I know? Notice how Jesus recognizes those who have built on the sand versus those who have built on the rock. He says in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, I will liken him to a wise man." No, that's not what it says at all. "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man." So then, the wise man is the one doing Christ's word, hearing his commands and doing them. That is the token evidence that he's building on the true foundation, on the rock, on Christ, because he's been changed. He's been converted. There's been a new birth. But in contrast, whoever hears, so the churchgoer, whoever hears and does not do them, I will liken them to a foolish man. Now, earlier in the week, I rehearsed how difficult the words of the Sermon on the Mount really are. Do I need to rehearse again how crushing this sermon is? Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, never have anger in your heart, and if you hear this the way you should be hearing, you're done. You're done. The only thing you can say is, I'm not going to make it. And my friends, that is what Jesus' preaching did. It killed people to themselves. You're either going to fall and cry out, or you're going to go and get angry. So those who fall need to go back and look at the foundation. They need to ask, have I come to this narrow gate? Has the foundation been laid? Who is Christ? Have I come to him in true faith? Have I rested in his promises? Because he is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He's the end of trying to do it yourself. If you have come to him, he's the foundation. Everything else then is built on him. And if he is my foundation, then I know I'm standing because he's the master builder. How do you know? Well, the drive in you will become a deep, incessant desire and want to honor and build on this glorious foundation that Jesus has already laid for you. The Holy One is just and pure, laying down his life, founding me upon him. If that has happened, what has happened to me? My whole drive now is holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. No one will see him. You see, this is the classic teaching that faith without works is dead. Remember James 1:22? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The point is, true faith will bring forth from that good root of faith, fruit in your life. And then he says this, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So there is this very strong reality that I could go through all of the acts of religion. I could have my paper religion, my convictions, and my life could be totally void of any real service, any real transformation, any real sanctification, any real good works, that I'm just a hearer and not a doer, and I've deceived myself. That is probing, isn't it? Remember John? If anyone says, I know him. In other words, if any man says, I'm justified by faith. I believe in Christ, in his free grace. If he says all that and does not keep his commandments, he's a liar. He's not a Christian. The New Testament teaches us this over and over. It's the whole purpose of Christ coming to redeem us. For what end did he lay the foundation? What end did Christ come here? What end did he die for? To set us apart that we might be what? Well, Titus 2 says, he gave himself for us that he might, now here it is, redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So you know your foundation is in place and that Christ has redeemed you when the drive of your heart and the drive of your life is holiness. A love for his word, a love for his commandments. I mean, that's just the reality that the Psalms always present us with. Those old psalmists loved the commandments. They spoke of that. That is all in contrast to the foolish man who does what? Jesus says he hears and does not do. He's a hearer only. The picture that Jesus is giving us is that of a man hasty in everything he does. He doesn't stop. There's no reflection on what really needs to happen before he can build his house. He wants the house now. He wants the shortest route, the quickest solution. He's the kind of guy in the church, fast moving, everything just to keep the peace, regardless of what the Bible says. He doesn't stop and think, you know, it's summer now. Weather's nice. Right now I'm sitting in my study and it's like 95 degrees out. This is a hot week. What will the house be like in winter if I don't put up a foundation? I won't think about this, he thinks. Just put it up. Now, Jesus dealt with it this way. Luke 14, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he's built the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. They've not stopped and been willing, says Jesus, to count the cost. They've put their hand to the plow and looked back. There's no real love for the rock, the Christ and his word. There's no real devotion to him. They have their religion, though, and they pick and choose what they like. They pick and choose what they're building with. And their lives and foundations, well, foundationless, is contrary to a life of true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we accept a blanket claim to Christianity, regardless of life, so that we've filled the church, one pastor said, with chaff that the wind will blow away. Is that true? Is that true, my friends? You see, Jesus is saying here today simply this. If you've truly rested in him and believed on him for eternal life, it brings forth a whole new change. Your whole life will be bent toward holiness, driving everything you do to want to please him and love him, because he is the center of your life. You've renounced yourself. You've died to a whole way of life and come alive to a whole new way of life, which is the life of Jesus. That the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave himself and redeemed me from every lawless deed. May that be our perspective today, that I've come to Jesus. He is my foundation, and my whole life is given to honor and glorify him.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.